I want to bring something to you concerning the word about what we're doing. How many of you know that if I walked out with white shorts, a white shirt, and a tennis racket in my hand, you would say I'm a tennis player, right? And there's so many different outfits that people can wear that you can recognize and say, well, that's a doctor, that's a dentist, that's a, you know, whoever it may be. Do you know that there is a garment and a piece of clothing that we should be wearing? And we should be wearing it all the time. You don't need to take it off. Because even in the middle of the night, you may have to wake up in that garment and give some praise. The Bible says God has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many of you have ever experienced any type of like heaviness, despair, frustration, depression? It seems like at times. How many of you ever experienced anything like that? Well, if you haven't, just wait. If you've never been presented with anything of that nature, because our flesh loves to go hide itself and have a pity party. Our flesh, this flesh, loves to feel sorry for itself. Amen? And not only has God given us the garment of praise, but He's given us the robe of righteousness. That means the clothing that tells everybody, this is the way I live because this is who I am. And the garment of praise sets us apart from every single person on this earth that does not have the hope of Jesus. And when we're singing these songs, it is amazing to me how I thought about this the other day. It's amazing when we can sing songs like this, and sometimes we sing them so much, we don't even know how to smile when we sing them. And sometimes we get so religious, we get so serious that we're like this. We are supposed to be the most joyful people in the whole world, in the universe. We're even to have more joy than the angels. And the Bible says they rejoice when one person gets saved. And heaven is full of joy. But we should be more joyful. And we were created to be that way. Because the angels try to kind of figure out with us. Because we're created in the image of God. I know tough times happen. I know tough things happen in our life. I know we face circumstances and issues, but the more you grow in your understanding and your relationship with God, when something comes and something happens, oh yeah, you're gonna feel the symptoms of depression. Your emotions are gonna go wild and go crazy at times. But that's when you gather yourself. Everybody say, gather yourself. That's when you gather yourself up. And like David said, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. And that hope that we have is different than what the world calls hope or what you called hope before you were ever born again. Because hope in the world, and when we were going through things, and we would say things like this before we were born again, and we were to understand what really it means to be united with Jesus, to be in the family of God, to have a covenant with God. You say, Pastor, you're really passionate this morning, man. You got a fervency this morning. I've been up for 4.5 hours in His presence, praying and worshiping, and while you were sleeping and the snore of faith was going on, I was praying for you. was praying that you come in here this morning and God would open your eyes to see the truth of who He is, what He's about. Man, it's all through the Bible when Habakkuk said, when I don't have, there's no cattle in the stall, there's nothing in the field. I mean, it looks like in the natural, I don't have anything, but he said, but I know what to do. I will rejoice in my God. Because what did we just sing? He'll break through tonight. He'll break through in the dark. He'll break through in the night. That's the reason you need to have yourself positioned always in praise. Always position yourself in praise. Listen to this. You were created to praise God. You were created. The first thing in your life, the first thing when you hear a report or something happens, you just start praising Him. That's how everybody recognizes us, that we're different. We have a different hope. We have a joyful expectation and confidence that God will do what He said He'd do. I don't sit there like this anymore. I mean, I literally used to carry around a four-leaf clover, thinking that that was something. Then I got me a rabbit's foot. Then I realized that, wait a minute, what am I carrying the rabbit's foot for? The rabbit wasn't lucky. That didn't make any sense. Nothing ever came of that. And when somebody asks you something, you say, well, I'm hoping, which means really that way you say it like that is it means you have already conceded to what you believe is the worst part. Maybe possibly something could happen, but you know, I'm really hoping, which you mean basically that you're expecting what you see as the worst report to actually come to pass. But maybe there's a ray of light. That is not hope in the Bible. That's not what the Bible talks about hope. Hope is a joyful expectation and a confidence that what God said that He will do and what He promised, He will bring to pass. That is my faith. And you know, listen, do you know what faith voice is? Praise is the voice of faith. Praise is faith's voice. Praise says, after I pray, after I read the Word of God and see His promise, praise says, glory to God. I thank You, Father. I praise You and worship You today that You are faithful to Your Word. You watch over Your Word to perform it. I thank You and praise You that I have a covenant with You, Father God, and You've made an oath and You've made a promise, and You're not a man that You should lie, and You won't back up on it. You said it, I believe it, that settles it, and I now praise my way, all the way. Because I know I got it. I know I got it. I know it's mine. See, you've got to ask yourself whether or not you're in faith if praise doesn't come out of your mouth after you pray. You got to think, what am I believing? Because if you're really believing God, it's going to explode. It's going to come out. Praise God. You say, well, I pray and I'm trying to, then start praying in the Spirit. It will explode on the inside of you. Listen to this. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Royal priesthood means you're kings and priests before God. Kings mean that you reign and have authority. Priest means that you bring sacrifices unto the Lord. And what kind of sacrifices do we bring under the new covenant as born again believers? Listen to this. His own special people. You're special. You're special. Say, I'm special. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're special. His own special people. Listen, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Listen, God never calls you out without calling you in. When he's calling you out of a place, he's got a place that he's got for you to come into. Listen to this, when you come out of lack, he's going to bring you into a land of abundance. He's going to bring you into a place. If he calls you out of sickness and infirmity, he calls you into health. That's who he is. Turn to somebody and say, would you please just smile just for a second? Just smile, just for a second. Jesus. Am I too early for y'all? Huh? Is this too much too early? Listen to this. Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not attained mercy, but had attained mercy. Listen, praise is an outward expression. It's an outward expression of a deep inner affection and love and fervent passion that arises from our hearts because there is a residing understanding of what our Heavenly Father has done, is presently doing, and will do for us as his chosen and beloved sons and daughters. So that's the reason it says in Psalms 47:7, for God is king over all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Praise him for what he's done. Praise him for what he is doing. And praise him for what he's going to do. Praise him for what he's done. Man, I was praising him the other morning. It just hit me what he brought me out of. And the devil couldn't stop him. Glory to God. The devil could not stop him. He brought me from death to life, and the devil couldn't stop him. Listen to this. Then Moses, Exodus 15:1-3. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. He has. He's already defeated the devil. He's already defeated everything that would be our enemy, everything that is evil, and everything that pertains to the kingdom of darkness. It's already been defeated. And if you can name it and it's not in accordance and harmony with God's will, it has already been defeated. Jesus triumphed gloriously over everything on the cross through the resurrection. The horse and the rider, he is thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him. My Father's God. Abba, Abba, Abba. Abba, Father. My Father is God, and I will exalt him. Listen to this. This is what I love. After all of this, then he comes up and he says, here's what you need to understand, one thing about God. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. You're his children. We belong to him. And when we begin to praise him and honor him, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. And when you begin to praise him, fear must flee. Anxiety and worry must exit. Man, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You know what that means? That means before I ever get to church, on the way to church, driving to church, Lord, I'm praising you that I receive my healing. I will be healed today in the name of Jesus. Jesus. I will praise you in the midst of my difficulties. I will praise you in the midst of my troubles. I will praise you in the midst of what people say is impossibilities. I will praise you because you are the God and all things are possible with you. And you've given me the victory through Jesus. I praise you right now. Yeah, I don't have to wait till the end of the service. I praise you right now. I praise you that my pain is leaving. I praise you that I'm healed. I praise you that you meet all my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13. Let me finish with this. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, by and through the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. What kind of fruit? We know we got the fruit of the Spirit. But what is the fruit of our lips? Notice the fruit of our lips has to be heard. I'm telling you, it's a testimony to people. It's a testimony of testifying. Why are you afraid to worship God and to praise him around your friends and saying, I'm praising God for my healing. I'm praising God for my deliverance. I'm praising God for he's going to meet all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Why are we afraid to do that? Why are we afraid to do that? Because for some reason we've got this kind of nagging little thing in the back of our minds of, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, where does that tell you where you're at right now? That's not faith. That's actually unbelief. The praise and the fruit, praise is the fruit of my lips, and the fruit of my lips is where people can see. When I walk through an apple orchard, I know it's an apple orchard because I see the fruit hanging on the tree. I know that's a Christian because they are not ashamed to praise their God. They're not ashamed. It is amazing how the ungodly and the wicked can sing and curse and say all kinds of crazy things and pronounce and say things out of their heart just like we did before we were born again. But us Christians, we're like, eh. It's time the fruit of your lips is seen. It's time that you start to praise your God. I tell you this, here's what I do. God, I'm going to praise you. It's your word. It's not mine. It's your word. I'm going to praise you in front of all my people. I'm going to praise you in front of everybody. I'm going to praise you and let everybody know this is what I'm believing for. Peter, let down your nets. Nevertheless, that's your word. That's your word. Therefore, by him, let us continue to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And do not forget to do good and share and with such sacrifices the sacrifice of praise. Man, when you're hurting, it's a sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice. You do one of two things. You can drop into the depths of despair and into the pit. Or you can offer the sacrifice of praise. You can sit around and complain and you're going to remain. Or you can praise and say, he is good. He is good. He is good. He's good all the time. He's my God and I'll praise him. I'll shout to him. The horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea. Praise God. My sickness has been defeated on the cross. It's been defeated. Jesus is my Lord. That's what we're dressed in. You need to take off the sackcloth and ashes this morning. He's giving you beauty for ashes. It's time that you start praising Him. Hallelujah. How many of you just got prayed for? Raise your hand. How many of you just got prayed for? All right, now listen to me very carefully. Listen to this. Speaking of Abraham, God said, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I declare I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I praise you, Lord. It's not my word, it's your word. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Who, contrary to hope, against hope, when everything it looked like was against him, in hope, believed, so that he became. Did you miss that? In hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations. He believed and he became what God had spoken. He believed and he became. He believed and he became. He believed, he believed. And he became. He believed and he became pregnant. He believed and he became. According to what was spoken, so your descendants shall be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. Now, what if a 100-year-old man walked up to you and said, I'm going to have some babies? You know exactly what you would do. You'd look at him, all dried up, prune looking, and just say, and you know what you do? You just come and you just kind of pat him. Okay, Daddy. Okay, Mr. Willie. Okay, Mr. Bobby. Okay, Mr. Bill. Okay. You know, because when you're old, you can say things and do things, and everybody just thinks, oh, isn't that cute? Abraham, every single day, his name, every single day, he was calling. He was declaring what God had promised him. Every day, when anybody said Abraham, they were prophesying. He said, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. In other words, he saw it, he knew it, but he would not give consideration to it. He gave consideration to what God had said. Or the deadness of Sarah's womb. She's 90 years old. He's 100 and she's 90. And they're going to start a nation. Whew. He did not waver at the promise. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Now you just got prayed for. You're praising God. You're worshiping God. So are you going to leave here and start wavering? You're gonna kind of be blown from one side to the other. You're gonna take the thoughts and you're gonna feel the things in the body and you're gonna say, well, it must not have happened. It happened the moment somebody laid hands on you. It's in the process. And you've got to praise your way until you get the manifestation. And that's exactly what he did. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory. That word glory is the word doxa, where we get doxology. Doxa. He said, it says, he's strengthened in faith, giving praise and worship to God. And he worshiped God and gave praise and worship to God until Sarah was pregnant. And being fully convinced. Some of us, the only thing we know about fool man, I'm full. I can't eat another thing. Well, when are you going to get full of faith? Listen to this. And being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. That was the worst shout I have ever heard in my life. We have got to be the people that God created us to be. We can't be that old religious church folk just walking around hoping one day I'm going to get on the other side of glory. Hallelujah. All I want is a little cabin. There is no place in the Bible that God has prepared you a cabin on the other side of glory. The Bible says he's prepared you a mansion on the other in the middle of heaven. Praise God. It is time we start smiling, laughing. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Glory to God. It is time that we do what the Bible says, praise with understanding. I will dance with all my might. I grew up in a church that all you did is sit there and sing the first verse and the fourth verse. And I'm not putting that down. But there was no faith in people just singing like that. Maybe it was when they started out singing those hymns. Then you go to the other extreme and you go to a church that if you hadn't done 18 cartwheels and 4 jumping jacks and handstands and everything else, you ain't been to church. That's great, but if it's all the manifestation of just the flesh, you don't get substance to it and what the Word of God says, that's where you come into the balance of what God says. But the Bible says praise with understanding. You must praise Him and understanding who you're praising and what you're praising. Those songs that come up there, they're not just songs somebody just plucked out of the air. They're psalms that are out of the Word of God, that a revelation has exploded in a psalmist or a writer or a worshiper. And the song explodes in their heart because the Bible says we'll sing a new song. Where do new songs come from? They can come from the devil or they can come from God. If it comes from God, it's because it's going to magnify Him and glorify Him and honor Him and tell everybody who He is and how great He is and how awesome He is and how powerful He is, and that He's my fortress and He's my defense and He's my protector and He's my healer. Glory to God. And I'm on fire like this at my age. I put you young people to. Come on, I got a 220, you got a 110. I need somebody that can outpraise me in the house. I need somebody that can outshout me in the house. I need somebody to have the same
fire of the Holy Spirit that I've been walking with and living with and praising with and dancing with. For 50 years. How many of you ever heard of the place called Woodstock? That was in my era. You might not have ever heard of it. It was one of the most attended. It was incredible. All hippies and free love, free sex, free booze, free. It was all of that in the world. Okay? And in the middle of that era is when I got saved. So when the Lord spoke this to my heart the other day, He knew exactly how I could identify and relate with that. And I was just praying and I was interceding, God, that we need an awakening. We need an awakening. We need an outpouring of your spirit. He said, son, he said, there's going to be a Woodstock that is going to be greater than what this nation and will affect the whole world has ever seen. He said, there's going to be awakening. I will pour out my spirit upon your sons. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he said, this is going to be something totally, completely different. Because he said, this one, the wood will be the cross. And the stock will be the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn to somebody next to you and say, don't fall away. Don't fall away. Listen to this. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh. Turn to somebody next to you and say, he's talking about us now. He's talking about us. Who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, because the sign of the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, was the sign of the cutting of the flesh, was the circumcision of the males. Now we've been circumcised in the heart by the Spirit of God. He says, made in the flesh by hands. Now here's our description before we got saved. This is where we were. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Because Romans, the 13th chapter, tells us that God is the God of all hope. Hope actually comes from Him. It's a characteristic. It's something that comes to us through His Word and by faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And again, the word hope is not something where we cross our fingers and we're just, you know, hoping and wishing and hoping that something, you know, is going to. No, hope is that joyful expectation of your confidence in God, that what He said He will do, He will do. That's hope. And faith sees the Word. And faith says, praise God, that belongs to me. That's mine. Because of the new covenant. And I'm a part of the new covenant. That's the reason we have communion. That's the reason we have the blood of Jesus, which represents the life of Jesus. Because when somebody sheds their blood, they have given their life. They've poured their life out on behalf of someone else. And that's what Jesus did. He gave his blood. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Because the life of Jesus being God in the flesh was worth the whole human race. That's the reason Jesus could die and shed His blood. Back in the Old Testament, when the animals were sacrificed and God had given them that blood, the Bible says, could only cover sin. I still had a guilty conscience. and a fear of God, but with a guilty conscience. And sin still operates in the inside, in the DNA of a human being. As long as I'm just covered, nothing has happened inside. Everything has been done outside. But God used that blood to cover so that he could deal with the children of Israel. He could deal with them on a daily basis. And every time that sacrifice would go up, the smoke would go up from the temple, all the children of Israel look and say, "That's me. That's me going up there. That's my sacrifice. That's my atonement. That's my sacrifice. That's in that smoke going up to God." And that would be a sweet aroma unto the Lord. But here's what you need to understand. The blood of the animals could not cleanse us from sin, because we're worth more and of more value than the animals, because we were created in the image of God. A man got us into this mess. Notice that I didn't pull you ladies into that. Somebody needs to say praise God. But let me tell you something, ladies. It's through you that Jesus came to get us out of the mess. Amen. Now listen to this. A man got us into it. He was the representative of the whole human race. Whatever Adam did, we'd be passed down to every human being. Jesus came as God in the flesh, but as a human being, he was our representative. He came representing heaven. He became one of us, identified with us as God, took on flesh, but still God. He had to be born of a virgin birth, because the seed belongs to the man and the blood is in that. And so therefore, it could not be the blood of Joseph, or Jesus would have been born with a sin nature. He had to be born supernaturally, and he had to be born by the seed of Almighty God himself. That the blood that flowed through his veins was the blood of God himself, with no sin. Because Jesus was the Son of God, he was God in the flesh, he was worth the whole human race, so he could die for every single human being. Past, present, and future. Because if his blood was not good enough for the past, Abraham and everybody else would have stayed in the belly of the earth. The Bible says he led captivity captive. Glory to God. He released the prisoners, took them to heaven. His train filled the temple. So when that blood was shed, that was the blood of Almighty God. God made a covenant with God. You know why God made a covenant with God? Jesus was God. He made a covenant with Jesus. Jesus was a representative of the whole human race. Why did he make a covenant with himself? So that we couldn't break it. Adam broke the covenant. But I can't break that covenant. Oh, I can walk away from it, walk out of it, but I can't break it. Nobody can break it. Because God made it with Jesus, and we were in Jesus. So he made covenant with all of us. And whoever accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, their sins are forgiven. And the Spirit of the living God comes to live. Oh my gracious. He comes to live on the inside of us. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he said, "You know, I just feel like God is so far away." And I said, "That's just your old religious teaching. Where do you go to church?" I said, "Son," I said, "where did God come to live when you received him as Lord?" He said, "Right here." I said, "That's the reason when we pray, we bow our head, because we're looking down and praying to God. Because he's right here." God comes to live on the inside of us. Jesus said, "We will come make our home on the inside of you." He's right here. even sings songs and says, rend heaven and come down. He's already come down, and he hadn't gone back. He's here. He just needs somebody to praise him and believe him. And he inhabits the praises of his people. Jesus shed his blood. And every time we take communion, the cup, the bread, represents his body was broken for us. 1 Peter 2:24, for he himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we might live into righteousness. By his stripes we were. Hold on. We were, right here, by his stripes, you were, so therefore you are. You were, so you are. Are you hearing me? You were a sinner, but you're not a sinner anymore. Oh yeah, you can go out and sin, but you're not a sinner anymore. Jesus took your sins, broke the power of sin, deliver us from the power of sin and the power of Satan, and gave us authority, cleansed us, and then put us in Jesus at the right hand of the Father. That's what he did. And that's what people around you that's what they want to see and hear the hope that you have. They want to hear and see the praise that you have, knowing that your God is real. Because they don't know that. They don't know that. They don't understand it. They don't know it. Many of them are living in a living hell. And even in Peter, it says this. It says, when people ask you about the hope that you have, tell them. How can people know the hope that we have? How can they know that? It's because we're telling them. We're telling them in the midst of our like troubles and issues and problems and everything, we're telling them about the hope that we have of what we're believing God will do instead of hiding it. We're telling them. So Jesus came to this earth. He died, and something that had never happened before took place. His blood cleansed us from all sin. Cleansed us from all sin. Purified us before God, made us holy before God, made us righteous with his righteousness. You want me to tell you how God sees you? He sees you in Jesus. When he sees you, he sees Jesus. When he sees you, he looks at the blood that Jesus brought up to the altar in heaven. And it's amazing, every time you pray, Jesus is praying with you. Do you realize that? He ever lived to make intercession for the saints. Every time you pray, every time you go before the throne of grace and mercy, and you say, Father, I can see Jesus now. Jesus just, there's a reason that he has the marks, because in a covenant, they always cut the mark where the blood would flow. And they would take gunpowder or dirt or something so that the scar would always be seen. And the Bible says that Jesus has got those scars. And he's sitting there, and every time we pray, I can just see it now. Jesus is going, Father, Father, they have a covenant with you. You should never pray with uncertainty. Never pray with doubt. Father, I have a covenant with you. Praise God. That is life, the life of God. You can't get it from anywhere else. The life of God living on the inside of us. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I want to give you an invitation from the God who created you. The Bible says he's our heavenly Father. I love that. He's our heavenly Father. And he loves you. Loves you with all of his heart, with all of his strength, with all of his might. He loves you. Jesus Christ came to this earth and died so that your sin could be forgiven, so that you could come into the family of God and that God could come to live by his Spirit on the inside of you. That's what you were created for. So that you would come out of the kingdom of darkness. That's where we are before we get born again. And we come into the kingdom of his Son, come into the kingdom of light. That means to revelation, to be able to see like I've never seen before, to understand like I've never understood before. Because as long as I'm living in sin and living in darkness, then I'm being deceived by the devil. And I'll never see the truth until I get into a position and place like this and I hear the truth. And if you believe the truth will set you free. This morning I want to pray for you. If you desire to be set free from the power of sin and the power of Satan, you desire to be what the Bible says, a brand new person, to be born again by the Spirit of God. Maybe you say, Pastor, I knew the Lord one time, but I've backslidden. Well, here's what God is saying. Come on back. And he said, well, I've done so many things. The Bible says if you repent of your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. He will forgive you this morning. And he'll get right there with you and help you in every situation that you're facing right now. So if you say, Pastor, I want to be in that prayer that you're going to pray this morning. I want to be in that prayer. If that's you, all I want you to do is just raise your hand. Right where you're seated, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be in that. Thank you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, that's me. That's, yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. Anybody else? Before we pray, I'm getting ready to pray. Anybody else? Before we, yes, yes, God bless, yes, God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? Before we pray. All right, all of you that raise your hands, I want you to pray this out loud with me. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. I want you to pray this prayer out loud with us, and we're all going to pray together. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you confess him as Lord, you shall be saved. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you shall be saved. You shall be forgiven. You shall have a new life. Pray this out loud with us, and we're all going to pray with you together. Those that are viewing, you can pray this also if you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this out loud with us. Father God, thank you for your love for me. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, the Son of the living God. He came to this earth. He died for my sin. And you raised him from the dead. I repent of all my sin, and I ask your forgiveness in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that I believe that Jesus is Lord. He's King. And this day, unashamedly, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me, delivering me, and setting me free. And now I am your child. Jesus is my Lord, and I thank you for it.
in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.